Welcome to the Home Church Podcast. My name's Kenny, and I serve as the lead pastor here at Home Church, and we gather in Maiden, North Carolina. We're so glad you tuned in to today's episode, and we hope that this episode will help encourage you and inspire you as you continue to follow Jesus step by step. Come on, good morning. Y'all can have a seat. Happy Easter to you. Good morning. My name is Kenny. I have the honor of serving as the lead pastor here at Home Church. We're honored that you would spend your Easter Sunday morning with us. I don't know if you've had an experience like this before, but have you ever had a moment, and maybe it's been multiple moments in your life, where you had a plan, you thought how you knew how things were going to go, and then all of a sudden, it didn't quite go to plan. Anybody, that ever happened to you before? I was preparing this week, and I saw a video that just like ingrained in my head that if any of you have ever been married, you've been at a wedding, you've had this moment where, and I saw this video, this best man is about to bring the rings up to the husband to be, the bride and the pastor. And if you've ever seen this, you know where this is going. And he, all of a sudden, he trips along the way. And as he does, he falls forward and he shoves the bride and shoves the pastor and the dunk. They're in the pool right behind him. Anybody ever seen a video like that? Like, could you imagine if you've ever, you know, man, you go to a wedding and it's like all of a sudden, like, that's not how this was supposed to go, right? And if you can imagine being the bride or even the pastor in that moment, man, what a, it's just like, this isn't how it was supposed to go. And I've had moments in my life where figuratively I've been in my white dress and got shoved into a pool at my wedding, all right? And you probably have had those moments as well. For me and Katie, Katie's my wife, one of those moments, one of those experiences is when we found out that she was pregnant with our second child. And along the way, we actually were kind of taking our time. The plan was maybe even to do a home birth. And we found out a little later in the pregnancy that it actually didn't go quite as planned because not only were we having one child, we were pregnant with twins. And I had just bought a house, y'all. I'm just telling you, like, this is not how this was supposed to go. We thought we were having one kid, and it turned into not just being our second, but our second and our third. And all of a sudden, our plan started to shift. Well, pretty late in the pregnancy, we found out that they were actually having some complications. And our doctor was very concerned, and we started going through testing. In fact, we got to a place where we were doing an ultrasound every third day, and that was going to determine if we were meant to go to the hospital that day to give birth. Our doctor said something that stuck in my mind, and it still resonates in my heart. He said something that grabbed me that day. And he said, Kenny, I need you to understand that you're either going to have two children or you're going to leave the hospital with no children out of this birth. And all of a sudden, you know, we went from thinking we were just having a second kid to now two and three and thinking we were on our way towards a healthy pregnancy. And all of a sudden, things have shifted. And we were living in a lot of worry. What's going to happen? Luckily, God was kind to us, and we were able to birth our two sons. We brought them home a week later. They spent a week in the NICU. We brought them home a week home. We brought them back home a week later for Christmas, and all of a sudden, they both got sick again, and we took them back to the hospital. And I was staying home with our youngest kid, and Katie was at the hospital with our twins. And I'll never forget the day that she called me, and I said, hey, how are things going? And she says, not good. She said, Jesse is in critical condition. And I remember saying to her, wait, hang on. Critical condition is for people who are about to die. And she said, yeah. I think we can all relate to moments that we've navigated where things didn't go as planned. There's two women in scriptures who had a very similar experience that Katie and I were walking through. Mary and Martha had a brother named Lazarus. They were connected to Jesus. Jesus loved them, and they sent word to Jesus that Laz was sick, not doing well. They asked Jesus to come, that he would be there and heal him. As maybe you know, the story didn't quite end the way that they had planned. This is what the Bible tells us in John 11. It says, on his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. He had died. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in their loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered him, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she replied. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is come into the world. And after she said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and is asking for you. And when Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. And now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. And when the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to mourn. And when Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. And Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not the one who opened the eyes of the blind man have not kept this man from dying? And I just wonder if maybe the reality for you is similar to mine. That you've had glimpses of where the story didn't go as planned in your life. Things just didn't quite work out the way you had hoped. You probably never imagined your best friend betraying you. You probably didn't have on your bingo card for the way your life would go that you would end up in jail. You had no plans for the drink or the drug to turn into an addiction that would take over every part of your life. You didn't expect anxiety and depression to cripple every thought that you have. You weren't expecting the diagnosis that shifted almost everything in your life. See, there have been parts of all of our lives that the thing that we thought was going to be did not turn out to be what we thought it would be. And Mary and Martha experienced this exact same thing when they saw their brother, who they loved so greatly, die. I think some of us, in a way, can relate to that. And I think some of us, if we're just going to be really honest today, we can probably relate to some of the questions that they asked as well. Jesus, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And along your journey and the difficulty and the hurts and the pains that you've had to navigate, more likely than not, you've probably asked some of those same questions. You've probably asked, does God really love me? If Jesus is good, why did I have to go through this? Where was he when I was dealing with this stuff? The story goes on. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb, and it was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there's a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. And then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I knew that you always hear me. But I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they might believe that you sent me. And when he said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out, and his hands and feet were wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let them go. And as I read this, if I'm just going to be really honest with you today on this Easter Sunday, something that's going through your head has also gone through my head as I read this. And it's one of those things of like, man, what a really great example. Man, good on Uncle Laz who got this miracle, but I didn't get a miracle. What I had hoped for, what I was praying for, Jesus didn't show up and resurrect. There's still hurt and betrayal and frustration and pain. And I too have been in that place and asked some of those same questions. And as I thought about today and all that I've walked through, all the things no doubt that you've walked through as well, I was reminded by the thing that Jesus said to them that I've had to grab hold onto. And Jesus said this to them. He said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? You know, it's interesting how we allow the things that we go through in this life and the things that didn't work out the way that we thought. It's interesting how we allow those things to dictate how we see God. It's skewed our perspective. Because we've dealt with the human side of this existence and we've dealt with the hurts and the pains, sometimes we get it so entrenched in that we see what we see, we feel what we felt, and we forgot that God is still God. And for me, it was with our twins. None of it had gone to plan. For Katie and I, we had to make a decision along the way. And the decision was either, are we going to trust God or are we going to doubt him? And so we made a decision in our heart that we were going to symbolically do something to tell him that we trust him and to try to walk that out. The second of our twins, he was the sickest in the womb. He's still the littlest one of the group. We named him Josiah. Josiah means God has healed. And the thing that Katie and I had to decide to do was, even before he was born, even before we knew what the outcome was going to be, we decided in our heart we were going to trust God by naming him Josiah, trusting that God would heal him. Now, the problem was that we didn't know if God would heal him in the earth or if he would heal him in heaven. And for us, we had to decide that we were going to trust God no matter the outcome. You know, when God created Adam and Eve, he gave them everything. And he said, trust me, walk with me, I've given you all things. And because they chose to not trust God, in that moment, sin entered into the world. A separation entered into the world because of a lack of trust. The separation causes us to doubt. And this is true for me and you as well. Ever since Adam and Eve, there's been this separation in us because of our lack of trust that God is good and the story is good. The things that we've seen have caused us to doubt that. And so along the way, God wanted to create an opportunity for us to be made right with him, because that sin, that lack of trust, separates us from him. And God's way to give you and I an opportunity to be made right with him was that he sent his one and only son, Jesus, to the earth. Jesus would live a perfect life, and I don't know about you, but that ain't me. Anybody else in the room lived a perfect life? Jesus, we're glad you're here. The truth is that we've all sinned. We've all been separated from God. But Jesus came to the earth and he lived a perfect life and he had followers who followed him and he claimed to be God and they trusted that he was God. And then along the journey, because he claimed to be God, some people got upset and they put him on trial. They convicted him for crimes he didn't commit. And ultimately, they sentenced him to death on a cross. And on this cross, Jesus would hang there and he would pay the price for your sin and mine. The thing that separated us, Jesus in that moment carried the weight of it. He bore your sin and mine. Jesus would die on that cross. And if you can imagine his followers, they were like, what are you talking about? This is the Messiah. This is the Savior. This is God. How can he die? Just a few days earlier, he raised Lazarus from the dead. And again, the questions come, how? It's not supposed to go this way. Looking back, we call it Good Friday. That's the day that Jesus died. And the only reason we're able to call it Good Friday is because we know that Sunday is still coming. You can be seated. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices that they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered it, they did not find the body of Jesus, our Lord. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. And in their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you that while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." And then they remembered his words. And when they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. And it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others who with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb, and bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and when he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. You see, on Friday, Jesus hung on that cross and he paid the price for your sin and for mine to reconcile us to God the Father, paying the price that we should have paid, death. Remember, because of our sin, we have actually earned death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. That's the promise that we've been given, that when we believe, that everything shifts. And I came today to declare to you that yes, Jesus did die on that cross. But on Sunday, he raised himself from the dead, defeating death, hell, and the grave, and ultimately claiming victory. And he's making a way for you and I to be made right with God the Father. This is important. After Jesus resurrected himself, he walked the earth for 40 more days and he presented himself physically to over 300 people. And then he ascended into heaven where right now he sits at the right hand of God the Father, waiting for the moment to come back to receive those who believe. And at the same time Jesus did this, he changed the narrative of the story. Not that we won't encounter things that don't work out the way we wish and we want them to, because that's a part of this existence. But the thing that he gives us is now hope that even through those things that we can trust that whatever we encounter is actually not the end of the story. The stone was rolled away and the tomb was empty and the hope of the world was alive. And what Jesus said to Mary and Martha right before Lazarus was raised, I declare to you today. Here's what it said in John 11. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. And the one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die." Do you believe this? because of what Jesus did on the cross and then raised himself from the grave. He gave us the ability to trust in him and that everything would change. And I came today to declare to you that that's not the end. The diagnosis that you dealt with is not the end. I'm telling you, the betrayal that you dealt with is not the end. I'm here to tell you that the failure you've encountered, all of the things, from the depression that's been holding you back, to the addiction that's held hold to your life, to the rejection that's broken your heart, all of these things is not the end. Even that divorce that broke you up is not the end. Friends, I came to tell you, death is not even the end because of what Jesus did. I'm telling you, church, and I want to tell you what happened next. Listen to this. Coming back to receive those who believe. When you walked in today, you got this little card. And so I'd like to invite you just to pull it out real quick. You got a card and a pen. And here's the thing. As at Home Church, we've just been encouraging our people to physically respond to what God does in your heart. And so here's what I want to invite you to do is I want to give you the opportunity to respond to God physically with maybe what he's doing in your heart today. This story, this reminder to all of us that all the things that we've encountered and how the plans didn't work out quite the way we thought, that that's not the end of the story. And that because of Jesus' resurrection, we have hope that that wasn't the end. And so I wonder if there's something that the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you today, that God has made clear to you today, that you need to write on this little line, that the thing that you've walked through is actually not the end of the story for you. Is there something that you've dealt with that you can write in this line right here that you would say, that's not the end, and then symbolically you would put it on this paper to remind yourself that the thing you've had to walk through is not the end of the story for you. And today we tried to give some language for things that maybe you have walked through. But you know your life and you know the things that you've had to encounter. And I just want to invite you for just a second. And I know this is weird, but would you just take a second? Would you write whatever that is on that line? Would you just do that right now? I want you to respond to God. Would you, whatever it is, write that on the line. And then on the back of this, this is the good news gospel. This is what we wanted to present to you today, to share with you that all you've walked through and the way that you've been separated from God, that this past couple of days, what we've celebrated that on Good Friday, that Jesus went to the cross to pay the price for your sin. And here we are on Resurrection Sunday to celebrate the fact that he raised himself from the dead. He's alive. And because of that, when we put our trust in him, that everything changes. The Bible says this, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, the Bible says that you will be saved. And so, listen, I'm just telling you, all along the front of this altar are names that our church has been praying for right this moment, for just this very time. That maybe you come in here and you hear this good news gospel and all the things that you've dealt with in your life, you realize that there is actually hope and there is good news and that their price for you has been paid and that even though you will die physically, that you can live spiritually forever. And so every single week, I give our church the opportunity to respond out loud, to put our trust in Jesus. And so here's what I want to invite you to do, church. If you would you bow your heads and close your eyes? And I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and I just want you to know it's not a magical prayer. It actually just matters the posture of your heart. Do you mean it? Again, the Bible says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that you will be saved. And so I want to give you a chance to respond to that right now by praying out loud. Would you pray with me? Say, Jesus, I am a sinner and I'm lost without you. I need you in my life. Will you forgive me? Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. And I believe you were raised from the dead. Will you save me? Now, Jesus, help me learn to follow you the rest of my days, the best I know how. And friends, you can look up at me. Here's what I want to invite you to do. If in that moment you prayed that, you put your trust in Jesus, you truly believed in your heart what you said with your mouth, there's two little lines here that I want to invite you to circle, one of them. And today, if this good news gospel has struck your heart and your eyes have been open and you put your trust in Jesus, I just want you to circle that today I put my faith in Jesus, if that's your story. And maybe you've been a believer and you've been away from God, but today the Holy Spirit has drawn you back and you put your trust back in Jesus. If that's true, I want you to circle it. And then take a quick second and throw your name down and your phone number. You don't have to give me your email, but would you just take a minute? I'm going to give you time to respond. Wherever you are in the room, if that's your story, would you do that? Would you take a minute? Because here's what I'm going to do. We're not going to embarrass you. We're not going to do anything weird. But you can already see there's already some of these already on the altar. And in just a minute, I'm going to give you a chance to physically respond to God, to bring your card and to lay it on the altar along with all of these names that we've been praying over for weeks. And we want to celebrate with you. No one's going to look at you. In fact, our church is going to celebrate like you just won the Masters. I'm just telling you, it's going to be a big deal. And so take a second right now and circle which of these is true of you. Throw your name down. I'm going to give you time. I'm not going to rush you. This is important. Let me just be very honest with you. This is why we're here today. And we won't rush it. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it, this is the moment of your salvation. So here's what we're going to do. And I know the room is packed. It's going to be awesome. I love it. It's going to be a little bit of chaos. Who cares? It's Easter. It's Resurrection Sunday, right? In a minute, I'm going to invite you to step out of your seat. And if you put something on this card or you circled something, I want to invite you to come and to lay it on the altar. And then we're going to continue to sing and celebrate. And it's going to be a day of celebration. And here's what I promise you. I promise you, you won't be the only one to move. And I know you're thinking, oh, I'm in the middle of the aisle. How am I going to get out? Who cares? Push somebody out of the way. Step on their toes. Come on, I want you to move, all right? Hey, if that's you, I want you to start moving. Go ahead and start moving. Go ahead and start moving. Yes, I love it. Start moving. And don't stop moving. If this is you, this is a moment for you. Come on, home church, let's celebrate. Yes.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. If there's anything that we can do to serve you or come alongside of you in your journey, please reach out. You can reach us at hello@myhomechurch.cc.